This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
I'm Tanner Olson, and this is the Walk a Little Slower podcast. Here we talk about hope and heaviness, creating and continuing joy and sorrow, life and God, questions and answers, and everything in between. This is a podcast where you are invited to slow down, to lean in, to hold fast, and to eventually keep going. Welcome. Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Walk a Little Slower podcast. It's me, Tanner, your host. I am just happy to be here, and I'm just happy that you are here as well for this episode. I'm excited about this one. I know I've been sharing like two episodes a week for the last couple of weeks, but I've been having some good conversations with people, and it's kind of hit the right season, and maybe I should have been, you know, separating these out and putting some distance between each release, but hey. You can always come back and listen to these later. On today's episode, today I'm joined by Andy Kolber. Maybe you've seen her work on Instagram or Facebook or wherever, or maybe you have her books at your house. She's fantastic. She's an author and a trauma therapist. She's the author of the books Try Softer and Strong Like Water, which are two fantastic books, but also two fantastic titles. I followed her work for many years, liking her posts on Instagram, DMing back and forth, and we had made a plan months ago to have her on the podcast, and then we just kind of, you know what happens, you get busy with life and stuff and things. Life and stuff and things. That should be a title of the book too. But then, while I was on a trip in Michigan, me and my friend Matt Daring, who's done the music for this podcast, he and I do a lot of shows together. We're coming to Texas soon. We were waiting in line to get on the plane from Chicago to Grand Rapids. And I noticed Andy, she was just down the way. And so I did the thing where I gave myself a pep talk because I was going to go meet a friend, but she was also estranged at the time. And so I walked up to her. I said, excuse me, ma'am, are you the author of Try Softer? And then we became friends. Then we met. She was like, wait, you're Tanner. I'm like, yeah, anyways, it was a good time. And then we got on the plane and she sat with us and we had a fantastic conversation on the flight. The three of us just talked for the whole, well, it was like a 20-minute flight, but it was still fun. It's a good time. And I wish that we had recorded that conversation because we talked about a lot of things, and a lot of things that we talked about on the plane, we also talked about again on this episode. And while we were on the plane, we made plans to record the conversation. We finally did. So that was a very long intro to say that I am very excited for you to be introduced to my friend Andy and her work and her wisdom. She's very kind, and kindness is always a gift, and she is a gift. So please enjoy this conversation, and make sure to check out the show notes before you go on the next thing. All right, enjoy. Well, I'm going to take a sip of coffee, and then we're going to jump in. This is good. Actually, to prepare for this interview, I was like, have you done any TV interviews? So I just like YouTubed your name this morning, and there was the one from Good Morning America that popped up.
Yes, last summer.
And you were wearing pink.
Yeah, this is a slightly different shade, but I do like pink.
It's great. It's good. But it was a really good interview, I thought.
Thank you.
Was it weird to be on Good Morning America?
It was really fun, and okay. It was very fast. You're just like on the stage, like waiting to go on, and the whole thing is done in like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Then you leave.
Were you there when anybody else was there?
So it was the day that the Barbie movie released. And so like it was the day that they're like all, I mean, it was a whole Barbie day. And I was wearing my bright pink jacket. And is it Greta Gerwig?
Yeah. That's her name.
She was a guest that day. I didn't get a chance to meet her, but yeah, it was cool. Like, it was a really fun day to be on there for sure.
What a great day to be. Did you like the movie?
I did. I really loved it. Enjoyed it. Yeah.
I've watched it a couple of times, and I'm not seeing Oppenheimer because those came out at like the same time, and you're supposed to see. Not supposed to. We made rules for that day, but you're like, you have to watch this one and then this one. And all I did was watch Barbie, and I was like, I think I'm good. Like, that was very encouraging, and I really enjoyed it. And I don't know. It was. I think for Halloween this year, not that I'm a big Halloween guy, but I want to go as Ken. But the Ken where he's wearing all black with just pink socks and the dance number. You know, I was like, I could just do that. I could be that kind of Ken. So.
That's honestly amazing. And I literally want to see pictures. I can't wait.
We'll make it happen. to begin the podcast, because that's really that we already begin. That's we're keeping that part. I want to talk about how we met. Because I've been following your work for years. I have followed you on Instagram and this stuff, and like have your books and on my list of people I want to have on my podcast. Your name is on there. But I want you to tell the listeners how we met in person.
Well, I love this. And similarly, I've been following you and appreciating your poetry and just like, oh man, you know, lots of mutual friends and, you know, one of these days wanting to connect. So back in January, I was traveling for a speaking event in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And since I live in Grand Rapids, there are not always direct flights everywhere. When I left Grand Rapids, there was a huge snowstorm. It was like one of those times when I was truly worried, will I be able to get where I'm going? So I like leave and, you know, I go down, I do the speaking event. I'm on my way back. I'm in Chicago at Midway. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm trying to remember, I look up and you're like, are you Andy Kolber? Or like you said, are you the author of Try Softer?
Because I was like, I got so nervous trying to say your name that I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to go. I'm going to step past that and be like, excuse me, are you the author of Try Softer?
That's a good. I see you adapting. Nicely done.
Yeah, because like your name is so different in a good kind of way. Right. But I'm sure people have tried to pronounce it like Andy. Do they just call you or Andai or?
Well, so, and I don't know if you know this, my full name is Andrea. That's my full name. Yep, that's my full name. But I mean, that has my entire life was, I was always called Andrea, which I always say, no offense to any Andreas. It's just not my name. Mm-hmm. And it would like, it's because it's spelled exactly, you know, like Andrea. And so playing a lot of sports and just in my family, my nickname was always Andy. Mm-hmm. And so people started to write it out and someone had spelled it A-U-N-D-I. And I really liked that particular spelling because it's like somewhat phonetic. And it still had the A, which felt true to me. And so really starting at about like middle school, I just started going by Andy. And then, you know, I played a ton of sports in high school and college. And then I just started to be known as Andy. Like people only knew me as Andy. And so Andrea, like it's my legal name. It's on all my licenses, things like that. Yep. But it doesn't really feel like me. Like if I hear Andrea, I feel like sort of like I'm in trouble a little bit. Like it's like, or it's like, oh man, something important is happening. And it's even like really connected with my own, like, you know, a lot of my work is around healing work, trauma, things like that. And Andy feels very much connected to like my true self. Like, this is like who I really am. Yeah. So I joke, I tell people, if it's helpful, it rhymes with Gandhi. So if you're ever like, how do I say her name? It's like rhymes with Gandhi, Andy.
So you're like, you've gotten to the point in your life where you just go by the one name. You're like Prince or like Gandhi. Like you just go, you're just the one name person. There is no last name for you.
You know what's so funny about this? I have to tell you this story. So I played college basketball. And so we had like these tracksuit, mm-hmm. whatever thing, warm-ups. And the people who did the embroidery made a mistake. And instead of putting my last name, which is what they were supposed to do, they accidentally put just my first name. And so I literally have like one of my warm-ups just says Andy. Everybody else had their last name.
Yeah.
And so one of my coaches was like, you're like Ichiro. Like you're like, so literally the same thing that you just said. It was like just one name now. I just do the one name.
Well, there's only one thing that can derail my podcast, and that is bringing up the greatest sport of all time, which is basketball. We're going to get to that in a minute because we need to finish the story. We get on the same plane together, and it's me, good friend Matt Daring. We're going to Grand Rapids to do a couple of shows in Michigan, and the plane is not full, but we're the only row, I think, of three, because you walk by and you're like, you can sit with us if you want to. And we joked about, we should just record the podcast here, but it would just been very muffled.
It would have been a tricky one, I think. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was so nice to like meet you and then hang out. And because usually I meet people and it's like, we're just doing a podcast, but this is our second, like now we have a history. Like we're buds now. We're locked in.
We have a story. You know? We have a story for sure.
Okay. Now let's go to basketball. You played college basketball. Okay. Did you have any like players that you modeled your game after?
Ooh.
Or looked up to?
Wow. Well, yes. So when I was in, especially when I was younger, I loved Pistol Pete Maravich.
Sure.
Like totally inspired, just like trying to, you know, kind of like improve my passing and my handles. And like, it just, I used to watch that. But honestly, Michael Jordan.
Sure.
I mean, that was, and not that I could ever even...
Oh no!
Close, but what I always appreciated about Michael Jordan, it was just that absolute in that tenacity, that ability to that focus, that grit, I would say, and you know, I mean, and we can talk about, you know, like my, because it interweaves so much with my work, and really, it's so interesting how this stuff connects, but. You know, I sometimes talk about how I think I've had elements of that, my own versions of that, right? Like I'm definitely not in the same gym as Michael Jordan, but I, that some of those things for me developed for better, for worse, in a childhood filled with a lot of trauma.
Sure.
And so part of my own story has been about unweaving, like, and valuing and honoring who, like who, how my body adapted is how I sometimes talk about it. Right.
Yeah.
But also recognizing, that I shouldn't have had to, and that there's other ways for us to be strong or be resilient. And, so anyway, so we can talk about that in a different way, but so Michael Jordan, I mean, even before Strong Like Water, my most recent book, came out, I watched The Last Dance.
Oh, so best part of the pandemic. If we can say there was a good part of the pandemic, The Last Dance was it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And I think what I would talk about it is through the lens of just like, it felt like a resource to this part of myself sometimes that I call, you know, sort of this part that is this fierce part of me, who, like it just was like, you know what, like I'm a find a way through. I'm going to find a way to do the thing. And so, yeah, I absolutely loved watching The Last Dance.
That, you know, all of that resonates with me. I think more so in the terms of maybe not so much childhood stuff, but life post high school, of taking what I learned, because I played basketball growing up as well, thought about playing in college, didn't for a lot of reasons, mostly because I was small. And it was just a lot of time. Anyways, but now with like writing and with work and the changes of the world, like I tap into what I learned through the game of basketball to continue forward as a writer or an entrepreneur or all those things. Like if you were to see the rest of my office, like over here, I'm pointing to my right, everybody, is a drawing of Penny Hardaway and then Kobe Bryant. And then I have a Michael Jordan figurine and a Space Jam basketball and a Space Jam, you know, and then there's a, like Ted, my Ted Lasso is over here, but that's not whatever. But it's all those things to remind you, like the just little reminders of keep going, or to take the Jordan taught me this, Kobe taught me this, Penny taught me this, and like implementing that into the situation I'm in, even though I'm no longer running up and down a court because I can't. So
you totally, but yeah, there's that wisdom, and it's like, you know, similar for me. I mean, I'm so grateful. I think about basketball. Sometimes I say, and I've written this, is that, I used to joke that basketball and Jesus saved my life. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is that what people didn't know is that I wasn't joking. Because if I didn't have that, you know, my faith is an important part of my story, and it's been a resource to me. But basketball allowed me to have a place where, especially as a girl, as a woman, where I could be empowered, where I could actually be powerful, where I could be fierce. Because in my home, I could not do that. I had to suppress how I felt in order to stay safe. I had to over accommodate. I had to do all these things in order to navigate what I faced. And what I've learned and what I'm so grateful for is that it's not that it fixed that. But I think there's a way in which being able to channel some of that energy, at least somewhere in my life, allowed me to probably have a little bit more. In trauma, we talk a lot about when things get stuck, and how that in many ways is like the essence of part of what happens. Like we can't fully process it, and it gets fragmented in our body and it is stuck, meaning that because it hasn't metabolized, it never fully, it's not like put away correctly, sort of, in our brain. And so when, though, like we at least have some ways to at least metabolize some of it, it's almost like harm reduction. So it's like, it's not that the harm is totally gone, but I count that as one of the, like, I'm grateful, because I think that's part of what has allowed me to tap into healing in the ways that I have.
Well, if you were to tell me that basketball and Jesus saved your life, I wouldn't laugh. I would just nod and agree, because I can see the two, how they overlap, and what one teaches the other and how one informs the other. And for me, it's just one of those whole things of like, this is how we get through it. This is how we continue. And this is kind of what we rest in and where we work out. So I love that. That's good. when somebody asks you what you do, what do you tell them?
You know, a lot of times, I usually tell people that I'm a therapist, like a trauma therapist. And then depending, I might tell them that I'm also an author. But it's interesting, because I think it's just like sometimes it's like, how much time do I have, you know, like, only just because I think it's not like the route, you know, sometimes you think of a different job and it's like, you know, it's like, if you're, an accountant, it's sort of like, here's how you're an accountant. And if you're, you know, like there's, and I think, I have a lot of gratitude for the way that my career has unfolded, but it really hasn't ever been from a place of like, here's my exact career path. There's been a lot of like trying things. And even when I was writing Try Softer, I would say that was before, you know, I think the world of like the therapy world and like the resources have expanded a lot the past couple of years. And I'm grateful for that. Like, I think that is, in many ways, like a gift, But it's so it's becoming like more common, I think, for therapists to have a little bit more of a presence, like in lots of different ways.
Sure.
When I was really starting to kind of do writing, I was like, how do I do this? Like, how do I be a therapist, but also have my own story, but also like want to have like a clinical voice? And so there's been, yeah, lots of like experimenting with like what works, what feels authentic to me. And yeah, so eventually I also share about the author piece too.
You always have to like kind of feel out the conversation though. Like sometimes when somebody asks me what I do, I'm a little hesitant to tell them that I'm a poet because they don't know what to do with that. You know, it's just like handing somebody a screaming baby and say, well, hold this for a second. Like, well, I don't know what to do. So sometimes I just say, I'm just a writer, or, well, then what do you write? It was like, okay, now we're getting into it. But it's always like a delicate thing. I want to talk about your book, Strong Like Water. First off, the title, it rules. It's so good.
Thank you.
Why the title Strong Like Water though? And actually, what's the book about? And then why the title?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think I could probably answer those almost like in the same question.
Sure.
So my first book is Try Softer.
Mm-hmm.
And I share that because I think, you know, I think in my experience, in the reception of that book, which it got a great reception, which I feel so grateful for. But I think that sometimes, like, I feel like, especially if someone isn't engaging the work or kind of understanding sort of what I'm doing with it, I think sometimes people think of like this idea of being soft or having compassion as really equating to weakness. I think that there's a lot of misconception around things like compassion and really what that means for us. And so what I found is that after I wrote Try Softer, I really had this desire to like really wanting to honor that. In my opinion, there's a way in which accessing compassion and accessing the ability to feel our feelings actually makes us very strong. And in my opinion, it's actually a very expansive strength. And so Strong Like Water came out of my desire to read, like expand and redefine and really challenge how we talk about strength. You know, like I shared earlier in our conversation, like I grew up having to be this very dynamic person in the sense of like on the basketball court, I was fierce. In school, I was a high achiever. I was what everybody wanted from me in lots of ways. And I don't think that people worried about me. And I get that. Like, I get why that happens. And so I think people would see me and be like, wow, she's strong. What was so painful about that for me was that I was very isolated in that experience. I was in my book, Strong Like Water, and I will try to explain why the title, but I sort of talk about, like, I think a lot of us really connect with this idea of having to be a certain kind of strong. Yeah. Like, when you're strong, it means pushing past your emotions. It means pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. It means disconnecting from your body. It means like the kind of prayer that's like, don't feel your feelings, just like it's more of a spiritual bypassing kind of faith.
Yeah.
And so Strong Like Water, that title, I wanted to evoke this idea of, yes, strength, but a strength that is not like what you think it is.
Sure.
Strength that comes, that is almost paradoxical.
Mm-hmm.
And like the way that H2O can, you know, water can go from being a vapor to a solid, to a liquid, it changes. And we too have that in us, the ability to adapt. And I think it sort of hints at that, and that's really kind of what the book is about. Like, how do we get out of only survival kind of strength?
Yeah.
and have what we need so we can live into the sort of the fullness of, I think, what God designed us for.
Well, that's beautiful. I think everybody who's listening is like, well, I have to go buy the book now, because yes, when you first announced the book Strong Like Water, well, even when you announced Try Softer, I was like, well, those are two book titles that I wish I had. You know how some people like release books and you're like, I don't know what the book's about, but I want that title. Like, I just want it. The whole Try Softer. And one of the reasons why I wrote a book titled Walk a Little Slower is because mm-hmm. it's a reminder for myself. And so every time I see the book, share the book, sign the book, sell the book, like, it's this little reminder for me is to walk a little slower. And I think, would you feel the same way about Try Softer too? Like, it's just this little reminder to you as well as everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that title for you too. Like, I just love, to me, I feel like, you know what, like with Try Softer, because, and I know we share a love of words, mm-hmm. you know, like words are something that when I hear something, when I think something, and that thing that I feel and the thing that I think match, and it feels like a puzzle piece gets put in me correctly.
Yeah.
And there's something really satisfying, like, you know, like when you get to the end of the puzzle and you put the piece in and you feel satisfied.
Yeah.
There's a way in which, for me, the right words at the right time cause this feeling of, you know, in sort of therapeutic work, there's like sort of a completion.
Sure.
There's like, that's the sense of what I needed. And so, like, I love, you know, even, you know, in your poetry that I often see that there's this way in which sometimes our words, when there's an integration happening between mind, body, spirit, it's like serving the whole. It serves the whole of who we are. It's not just words out there disconnected from who we are, but it sort of like is a balm, and it like honors that experience, and it allows us to be more who we are.
Yeah, that is interesting about the words themselves and then the time in which they meet somebody, you know. And it's, you probably hear this every now and again. It's like, well, I read this, or we even talk about this when we read through like scripture as well. It's like, I've read this 100 times, 100 different days, but on this day at this particular time, it meant something to me. Like, that's when the puzzle piece fit. Before, I was turning it all the wrong way. The words were good, the words were true, but it just didn't match the space that needed to be matched. I do want to say, when you first released Strong Like Water, my first thought was baptism. Was the power, the water and the word, but how something, and we say it's water is so simple, it's not so simple, it's a mystery, but like, we take something so simple and yet it is so strong. It is so powerful. There's something about it that just changes and unlocks everything. And I don't know. I think that the title is excellent and the content of the book is fantastic as well. I was listening to an interview that you did. I think we started talking about this with Good Morning America. And on it, you kind of mentioned the whole line of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And we know that's not true. So What is it that makes us stronger?
Well, before I answer that, I just want to say I love that water gets your imagination going and the mystery of that. And I think like there's just like so many levels to that. And I love hearing how that sort of like lights a fire, you know, to use a different analogy, but,
water,
and
fire,
it's almost like, right. Yeah. It's like so elemental. And so I just want to honor, I think that's a lot of times my hope for all of my work. Like, it's always just like a way to say, hey, here's a framework, go make it yours,
sure.
go live it. And it becomes the thing, you know, that you hopefully need it to be. So anyways, I just wanted to say that, but yeah, that interview with Good Morning America, what a fun experience. And I love this question. So if it's not, you know, if what doesn't kill you, if that's not what makes you stronger, then what does? And I would say the simplistic answer And maybe what sometimes feels like an abstract answer is I would say that it's experiences of love. But in a more granular answer, what I would say is that it's experiences of feeling safe and resourced and supported. And to me, that's expressions of love. And so I think of love as the big category, right? Like this is what we call feeling resourced and safe and supported. And in a really like particular way, what gets me sort of excited and gets me energized is that from like a therapeutic context, from a neurobiological context, we can get practical with this. We can get tangible. Because I think, you know, I love the concept of love, but it's easy to keep that in sort of this theoretical place. Anybody can sort of say, all we need is love. What does it mean to embody love? Or what does it mean to tap into an experience of those things in our body? And what I would say is that, you know, in Strong Like Water, I give this framework to say, I set it out that we have what I call the flow of strength, which is just this concept that I coined. And it essentially says that we have these three types of strength. One is situational strength, which is what I would call the type of strength that is sort of life or death energy. Yeah. It's the strength that we tap into when really, like whether it's a real or perceived threat, our body sort of taps into our ability to go into our sympathetic nervous system, things like fight or flight, or potentially our dorsal vagal, which is when we start to dissociate or numb. We do all these interesting and really what I would call brilliant strategies to survive. And the goal in those situations is really just to help us survive. And ideally, once we navigate it, we return to homeostasis and we don't need situational strength. And what happens is that as our body begins to take in some cues of safety. So like, let's say I'm starting to cross the street and I almost get hit by a car or like a car is coming and I quickly jump out of the way. What's happening is that my body is tapping into situational strength to just be like, to unconsciously and instantaneously get me out of the way of danger. And then when I notice like, oh, it's over, I'm taking in cues of safety. And my body goes, everything's okay, right? Like I'm going to be safe. And so what happens is we move along the flow of strength into what I would call transitional strength. And I can sort of begin to be like, oh man, that was close. Like I can start to think about thinking, like I can start to, this important part of our brain comes online, our prefrontal cortex, and we can go, ooh, Andy, next time, I think I need to like look both ways,
yeah,
but I'm okay. I maybe like do a little shaking because I'm like a little bit amped up and I allow it to continue to move through. And as that moves through and I continue to feel safe, I might move into what I would call integrative strength. And that's that final place on that flow. And that's where it finally completes itself. And it feels like it's over in my body and I can learn from it. I'm not, when I think about it, I'm not necessarily, it's not going to bring up disturbance in my body because it feels over. It feels done. So that is a description of like the full movement of that flow, right? And so the mechanism that is allowing us to move is what I would, is what I call compassionate resourcing. And compassionate resourcing at its core is a way of communicating safety to our body. And, you know, that's, so like when I, like in that example, when I notice that I didn't get hit and I start to just orient myself, I'm literally bringing in cues of safety to help me. Like that's telling my body like, oh, I didn't get hit. I'm safe.
Yeah.
But there's lots of ways that we can cue safety. Like it could be a person that we feel calm around. It could be a song. It could be doing a practice like grounding where we use our five senses to come into the present. It could be a mindfulness practice. And so as we get more and more skilled, what begins to happen is that ultimately our nervous system gets better and better at accurately assessing what's happening. And if we need to tap into situational strength, then by all means, that's awesome. We do. And if it's not a situation that calls for us to have that kind of energy, we get more adept at responding from a place where we are more resourced, where we're reacting in proportion to what's actually happening. So that's what I mean when I say, when I get granular, when I say love changes us in ways that fear and danger cannot. It's literally these particular ways of communicating safety to our body that actually allows us to tap into the fullness. Like that integrative strength is where we are our most God-given self. We have access to the fullness of our human experience. We have, like, we can tap into memories like, oh yeah, in the past I did that hard thing and I was okay. And you know what? As I remember that, it is helping me to remember I can do this hard thing right now. Kind of like when you talked about basketball, right?
Sure.
Like, it's like, in the past, I navigated this hard thing in the context of basketball, but those same skills live in me.
Yeah.
And now I can bring it to this present moment.
When are you going to be a professor? That's all I'm going to say. I have like all these thoughts, but all I am left with, I'm left with a lot of things, but to get back to, what does love do for us? Oftentimes it leaves us feeling safe and seen and known and supported. And I think that it's refreshing, kind of like water. It's good. All right. That was very serious for a little while. We need to change it up a little bit. It's time for the last part of the podcast, which is a game that I like to call Finish the Sentence. Do you want to guess how the game works?
Do I finish the sentence?
She finishes the sentence. There's like seven or eight of these. And the first one is, the perfect breakfast is?
Bacon, eggs, and hash browns.
Now, this is a great answer, but I need more than just that because I need to know, what kind of bacon are we talking about here? Is it crispy? Is it just like, how do you take your bacon?
Okay, actually, can I amend it?
Oh, you're lighter. This is yes.
Okay. Now, I mean, I actually love breakfast.
Oh,
I really love breakfast. Okay. So actually it would be an omelet with a little bit of spinach, a little bit of mushrooms, some, what's the white cheese? Not, or some like maybe pepper some cheddar jack. Or pepper, like, oh, not pepper jack. What's the other? Why can't I think of? Well, that would work too, but there's Swiss. That's what I'm thinking of.
Ah, Swiss.
Swiss. And then a little bit of bacon in there, which I don't have my hickory smoked. Wouldn't be bad.
I wouldn't be upset about that. Now, you did say hash browns, and I think you need to have hash browns with this omelet. What kind of hash browns are we talking about? Or from a certain establishment that we could point to?
Well, dang. Here's what I will say. I can't give you the establishment because I don't have one particular, but here's what I would say.
Yeah.
Extra crispy.
Yes.
Not too thick. Extra crispy.
Yes. I sounds great. Sounds wonderful. All right. Next one. I don't know much, but I know for certain that.
I am beloved.
I am always ready for.
A deep conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much always.
I could sense that. Were you one of those people in college who was up till three most mornings because you just started talking with somebody?
I would say if I was up till three, it was because of that.
Mm. Yeah.
But I've kind of pretty much ever, I've been an old soul for a long time.
Sure.
And I enjoy going to bed at like 10:30, and I have for probably about 20 years.
I am very We have a lot of things in common. In college, I would be in bed at like 9:30. Like, where's Tanner? I'm just going to bed. I have to be up tomorrow to do things. I wasn't one of those people that could function on like 4 hours of sleep. That was never me. I was always like, and also I was like, what else are we doing? Like, I'm just gonna go to bed. I'm gonna miss out
like
on
if
all
I'm
that.
gonna stay up that late, it's like every once in a while maybe that would happen, but it's like that means I'm not doing that again for a while.
All right, the next one is, I would tell my eighth grade self that.
Ooh, digging deep. I am so proud of you. And it is not your fault.
Yeah. When I wake up tomorrow, I will.
Make a cup of coffee and write in my journal.
Was there ever a point when coming up with the title of the book where you're like strong like water or strong like coffee? Was it just kind of like, I don't know. I feel like that would be.
I did play with some different iterations for sure. Like strength, like water, strength, like different kinds of strong. But I really love paradox in, you know, it, I mean, thinking about, you know, being a follower of Jesus. Jesus was always talking in parables. He was always kind of like, there was always layers, right?
Sure.
To what he would say. And I love when things sort of have like these, like you could take it at face value and you could unpack it. And I love when titles stay with you like that and they make you kind of scratch your head a little bit and have to be like, well, what does she mean?
Yeah. It's a croissant title. There are these flaky layers that you just got to like, yes.
That's a great description. I've heard like onion, but croissant, I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, sure. Onions have layers, but so do croissants. And I'd much rather put a croissant in my mouth than an onion.
There it is.
Title of this episode. The thing I want you to know about God is.
He is so much kinder than we dare hope.
That's good. Last one. When it's all said and done, I hope they remember me as
fiercely compassionate.
Ooh. I will for sure. Thank you so much for hanging out and for being on the podcast and for taking the things that you've gone through, the things you've learned, your wisdom, your experiences, and packaging it into beautiful books and saying, I wrote this for you. So thank you for being you to us because it matters deeply. Hey, where can everybody find your books and things?
Yeah. Well, first, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thanks for chatting about basketball and geeking out.
Anytime. Do you have a favorite NBA team or college team?
I mean, gosh, that would be a whole nother podcast. Some of the different things. So I would say right now I don't.
Okay.
If I'm being real honest, right now I don't.
I would love to invite you to come join me and be a fan of the Orlando Magic.
Okay. I've seen you in your jersey. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's, and this is a podcast and nobody else can see this, but this is our mascot. So I just think that you would really enjoy this. This is called Stuff the Magic Dragon. And he's fantastic.
Literally so great. I love that you're like, I would like to invite you. You are invited.
You're very much invited. Please come join us.
I will take your invitation.
Think about it.
No. Thank you. It will be under consideration. And no, so glad to be with you. And yeah, folks can find me on Instagram at Andy Kolber. You can go to my website, andykolber.com, where I, you know, you can, if you subscribe to my email list, we've got some great resources connected to that. You can get my books anywhere books are sold. And I don't want to fail to mention, I do have a new Strong Like Water guided journey. So it's the companion book to Strong Like Water. And that comes out March 26th. And, you know, really the hope for this one is that it sort of deepens the work. And it's sort of, it's almost like my desire is to help the reader sort of internalize more deeply and to really sort of make this work even more their own. So I really kind of put my heart and soul into that one. So would love for folks to check that out too. And that has some videos that goes along with it. That'll be on my website. So yeah, would love for folks to check that out.
Oh, I'll have that in the show notes as well. All the links to all of the things. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And I look forward to running into you at an airport again soon.
Same.